No Tony. Okay, well, I guess we can open the meeting. This is an informal hearing at the Public Service Commission. Case number GS-10585. It's Kevin Kramer along with Commissioner Brian Kalk. And some folks from, well, Patrick Font from our staff, Mark Gooman, who's an attorney, and then some folks from MDU who will have introduced themselves in a little bit. The purpose of this informal is to consider a request by Montana Dakota Utilities to for a waiver of Title 49 Dakota Federal Regulations relating to requalification requirements for persons making plastic pipe joints. This is all part of the federal government's pipeline safety laws and rules. With that, good afternoon, welcome to everybody, and I would ask, since this is Commissioner Kalk's portfolio, comments from him and sort of take over from here.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Just appreciate all the work that you've done. I know we've been working on this for quite some time, but I look forward to, I guess, the discussion and the rationale, because this is perhaps something that we could use in other parts of other companies could follow what might potentially happen here, because I like the end game of where trying to become more efficient in what you do and the way we put the pipelines in, the safety programs around them, it's just becoming more and more of a concern for everyone. So I just look forward to the discussion.
One of the thoughts I had as I read through the application, of course, you know, one of the things that happens a lot in Washington is that there are sort of one-size-fits-all, and that's mm-hmm. why they allow for waivers. It makes sense. And, of course, we here we sit, you know, the day after a major storm in the end of March when some people are trimming their trees. And so, obviously, our construction season is different that way. So those seem like a reasonable application. With that, maybe Tammy wants to just say a few things. Did you do the memo pack?
do you have actually have a memo? Okay. No, there isn't a memo.
Okay.
Just the application.
All right. Thanks, commissioners. And I have with me today Danny Hood, a gas engineer in our distribution department, who works with this stuff every day and works with your staff, including Bob Bachmeyer. So I'm just going to open it up. As you noted, this was a request for this waiver so that we could more, what we believe, efficiently, effectively meet the requirements of the law and yet also work more efficiently in our construction period. So we have asked for a waiver of the standard relating to this plastic pipe joints, and we have finally landed on, in working with Bob, what we really believe that waiver should be, and that's in the January 11th letter, and that is where we would requalify anyone under the applicable procedures at least once each calendar year, not exceeding 15 months. If that person does not make any joints under the procedure in the preceding calendar year or has one joint that is found to be unacceptable. We made a similar application in the other states we serve, Montana, South Dakota, and Wyoming. Each of those commissions has approved the waiver and has submitted that on to PHMSA. And I believe in South Dakota and Montana, they've gotten word back. Wyoming hasn't yet. There is one difference in what we have provided here, and that is in the other states we included, and we took the existing language and said no more than 3 joints or 3% of mm-hmm. joints made, mm-hmm. and we removed that we had proposed originally 1 joint or 1% of the joints made, and I think realized that that's quite an onerous on our own part to administer the 1% of the joints. So we've simply left it at if they have one joint that fails, we'll go back to the testing requirements.
That was a good catch. I mean, clearly 1%.
Yeah.
Whichever is greater, well, how do you get one?
So we just went with the one.
Is a pretty, that's a pretty reasonable step because you're taking on, you know, a pretty, you know, I think a more restrictive in some respects standard while at the same mm-hmm. time getting something on there.
And
so I thought it was a pretty common sense.
So that in a nutshell is what we've asked for. Danny, do you have anything to add?
Or nope, not this time.
And if you have any questions, Danny.
How long did it take you to get PHMSA approval after?
It actually wasn't too long, I don't believe. I Do I have South Dakota's with me? I think that I do. I was just going to look. Where they heard back in June, and the commission authorized it in April, and they heard back from PHMSA in June. So not too long.
The only questions that I had, I guess, is just more just for my knowledge kind of questions. How do you go about finding a joint is unacceptable, other than if all heck breaks loose and you do it, we end up in an investigation? I mean, how does that work?
There's a section of federal code, Commissioner, that is pertains to the testing of the pipe and the pipe joints. It's Section 513.
Walk me through the guy on the ground viewpoint.
It's basically you run a pressure test on that service line or that line to at least one and a half times the MEOP of your line. So we would run those between 90 and 100 PSI. And if it passes that, it's considered to be a joint that is of good quality.
So does the person that installs the joint, is that also the person that does the pressure test?
That most of the time, yes. Not always, but 95-98% of the time, yes. They make the joints, let it cool, and then they run the pressure test right after that before they connect it up to the main and get everything ready to go.
So just isn't that, if you make a joint and there happens to be a little, and you pressure test it, you go back and fix it, isn't that what we're trying to do on it? Why would that be an unacceptable joint? You know what I'm saying? Is that it's you're out there, you're building, you put your joints together, you mm-hmm. test it, and some reason it didn't quite seal, so you go back and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that bad? That's what we're trying to do, is make sure we...
Yeah, we're just trying to make the sound joints on the first attempt so there is no leaks or anything of that nature. I guess if I'm understanding your question correctly.
No, I'm just trying to see. That seems like a very, very high standard that you don't even give your techs the chance to, sometimes things just happen.
Is the one unacceptable joint unacceptable to that person that's redoing it? Does he record that as unacceptable before he fixes it, or is it unacceptable after some auditing?
That's what I was getting to.
I can tell.
It is considered to be unacceptable if he pressure tests it and it fails or leaks.
It on the spot as unacceptable.
He should record that as a failed joint and then goes back and fixes it, and then we would end up re-qualifying him. Normally there's more than one person there doing the work, so we could actually even have somebody else do that next joint, re-qualify the person that made that unacceptable joint, and send him back out into the field.
So let's say it doesn't happen. Or Pat, you're going to add something there.
Well, I was just going to add, in every new installation that you test, pressure test,
mm-hmm.
and in every repaired service line, that they do a pressure test.
Yep,
that was my second part. So if they go through and let's say these joints are all fine, what other areas can they come back and say that this is an unacceptable joint later on in the process? You said Pat said they're going back out and check, fixing something, and they check it then too?
They do. They do check it after every repair. And anytime they find a joint that has failed, that they record that as a failure and then would require retesting.
If we did a leak survey, like we have to do when we find a leak, and mm-hmm. we dig down and we find a fused joint that is considered to have that leak, that would be considered a failed joint as well.
Even though when you installed it, it tested fine, it still goes back in the guy that did it mm-hmm. because it didn't hold up long enough?
Yep.
Fascinating.
That one.
That's good.
How do we, other than an accident or something, how much pressure does a distribution line have to lose before it shows up?
As a leak?
Yeah. How do you catch it?
You would end up catching it through a leak survey. We have personnel or contractors that go out and leak survey our service lines on a rotating basis. So all the service lines will get hit at some time, and when they leak survey it, that's how they would find it. You will not find a leak through a pressure loss in a distribution system.
Was your question, excuse me, is Pat Vaughn? Oh, did he?
Yeah,
okay.
He knew exactly what I was thinking.
Very good.
And he also knew what I might have been thinking that I shouldn't have been. And he was very kind and respectful not to highlight my ignorance. So I appreciate that. You're very used to going to government for regulatory.
My mother taught me well.
Good job, Dan.
Keep them well.
How many joints would you do in a year?
Montana, Dakota, what did we do last year? 50, 55, 5,300 new services. something of that nature. That's in Montana, Dakota. How many people? We've got in the Dakota heartland, we probably got 30, 35 people that are qualified, certified to do these types of joints. Go MDU wide, we're 150 to a couple hundred probably.
That raises, a question for me, not necessarily a question, but could you fill us in on how that works then for when you're hiring contractors to do some of your installations?
When we hire a contractor, the contractors have to be qualified under our qualification guidelines. So most times those contractors that we normally hire go through the certification or qualification normally the day after our personnel go through it. So we have the contractors and their personnel come into our office and run through the same qualifications that our people go through.
You've got a pool of contractors that you're going to use for the next year or two. It's not like you just hire somebody this week.
Correct.
Okay. I don't really have any other questions, I don't think.
You don't have any reason why we wouldn't?
No, I would recommend approving and forwarding it to the Office of Pipeline Safety for approval. Yes, I believe that's correct, the regional office. I'll double check on that, but that's my recollection.
Okay. Mark, we're not forgetting anything, are we, for the record? Alana has taught us that informals are records and that we have to put everything in evidence to review. And I assume that's what you're wanting us to do.
Yep.
Okay,
we're good. All right.
There's nothing else. We can close the hearing, can't we?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.